This is the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB.
Now, ever wondered about the secrets of songwriting? Well, five young blind people are getting the chance to learn from industry professionals as an exclusive project gets underway. Leanne Coyle went along to meet the musicians and the participants they'll be working with.
I've just arrived in Birmingham, the home to singer-songwriters from all over the UK. No? Okay, well, maybe that's just for today, because today is the day the ball gets rolling on an initiative that will give five young blind people the songwriting and performing skills they need to get into the music industry. Well, that's the plan anyway. There are eight workshops, four successful working musicians, and one big showcasing gig at the end. Now, the masterclasses haven't quite kicked off yet, but there's something very important that needs to be done before pianos are tinkled and guitars are strummed. And that is why I'm here today. Hey you, what you waiting for? I just showed some tender kits. Here. Nikki!
Hey!
Hello, I made it.
Yes, welcome.
Nikki Kelly is a singer-songwriter from Birmingham. She started to notice a lack of support for aspiring musicians with visual impairments when she lost her own sight 10 years ago.
What are you welcoming me to? What's happening here today?
So today we're doing the visual impairment awareness training for the artists that are delivering the workshops as part of the VIP project. They're going to be performing using SimSpecs to get really involved and have an idea of what it's like to be visually impaired. And also they're going to learn a lot about different conditions.
She worked hard to get funding from the English Arts Council to provide bespoke songwriting workshops with artists who really do know their stuff.
Hi, I'm Dan Whitehouse. I'm a singer-songwriter. I'm signed to Reveal Records. I'm really pleased to be working on the VIP project hosted by Nikki Kelly. I started releasing solo material in 2009. I've released four albums. Does it scare you how
I found you out? My name's Sarah Howells and I'm a recording artist, singer-songwriter, musician. Some people may know me from the band Paper Aeroplanes originally. And in the last 2 years, I've now been mainly focused on my solo project called Bride, B-R-Y-D.
Hi there, I'm Michael Clark. I'm a singer, songwriter, and a session musician from time to time as well. I play with a band called The Sad Professors.
These are full-time working musicians, so Nikki's done well to not only have them commit their time, but moreover to share the knowledge only those who work in the industry would have. But first things first, they might know music inside out, but do they know how to work with blind and partially sighted people? Time for some VI awareness training.
Yeah, is it okay to go in and meet everyone?
Yeah, of course, come and meet everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi, nice to meet you all.
Now everyone's here, let's get started with the training.
So in your little packs, I've printed out five different eye conditions.
Hi, my name is Amy Woodward, and I'm a community facilitator for RNIB Connect. Today I'm linking with Nikki, who has organised the VIP project, and we're going through some visual awareness training for the people who are actually doing the workshops for the participants over the next few weeks.
Why is it important that these three artists who are working with Nikki, who haven't dealt with blind or partially sighted people before, why is it important that they get this training?
I think it's important because we want them to feel comfortable as they're working with people so that the focus can be on actually improving the people's work and the music and the art. We don't want the visual impairment to get in the way of that. So by educating these individuals, these artists, about some of the things they might come up against, they'll be more prepared and be more comfortable speaking to people and working with people.
Mike, you've just done the visual impairment awareness training. Can I ask you, Mike, first of all, have you ever done this kind of thing before?
No, this is the first time for me.
Yeah, I mean, Amy was just explaining the point of the training really is so that the visual impairment isn't a factor, that you can get on with the music.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to that level because I think it's music, so it shouldn't, that the visual impairment shouldn't affect people's ability to enjoy it or work in it. And actually, when I was preparing my workshop, I've been dealing a lot with feelings, you know, lyrically, like emotions and sort of chords and moods, and none of those things to me so far are really going to be affected by sight. But yeah, it's been interesting to learn about just chatting and being with people who have a visual impairment or are blind as to how to sort of behave in a good manner that is a kind and helpful.
Yeah, helpful. I think that's the key,
not inhibiting at all.
Exactly. You know, I saw you earlier, you were trying on some specs. I mean, Mike's holding some of them here. Do any stand out to you?
These glasses, these sim specs are interesting objects. So they kind of simulate the experience of visually impaired people. It was eye-opening to me, just the high number of different conditions and how every, obviously it's not really surprising, but every person is an island. Everybody has their own cocktail of conditions. These glasses go some way to giving you a replication of that experience. But obviously it's what people go through is something that we can't share, really. It's that they're going through that in isolation.
Sarah, okay, so Mike's holding the ones that replicate, you know, diabetic retinopathy, retinitis pigmentosa, glaucoma. There's so many in there, but
I probably wasn't aware of the scope of different conditions and how people experience vision.
And Mike,
to sit in a room and have to view it through these filters, again, I'm the same. You know, I didn't realise there were so many. Sort of such a variety of conditions and how they would affect different parts of a person's vision entirely differently.
The videos we saw in the training were interesting. I thought what stuck with me was the lady's experience of train travel, where she got assistance to her seat, but then got lots of strange looks because she opened a book to read. You know, that's an interesting video to see. That's an interesting angle on things. And obviously, you know, it makes you aware of how the sensitivity required, you know, to work with visually impaired people.
I was saying to Amy, the first time I did visual impairment awareness training, the thing that stuck with me was, okay, you can't assume, you have to ask, you have to go from individual to individual and ask them how they experience the world.
Mm.
Do you think you will feel confident in asking people?
Yes, because this course has been designed by a visually impaired person, Nikki, she's kept the numbers low in the sessions, small groups, so I think that will allow this almost one-to-one personal touch and the conversation time required, you know, for people to get the most out of it. It's going to work out really fine.
So you three are going to perform now with sim specs on. Do you know which ones you're going to wear?
I might choose my song carefully, depending on how much of the fretboard I need to see.
So you're going to be playing guitar and singing?
Yeah, yeah? I will be.
With a pair of these on?
Yeah.
If I could choose, I would choose the one I'd find most difficult to work with.
Okay, set yourself a challenge. I'm going to have to let you all get ready to do your performance, but I'm going to be really interested to hear what your reaction is after you've performed it.
Okay.
Thanks
Thank you very much.
While Sarah, Dan and Michael are tuning their guitars and generally gearing up to perform in a way they never have before, some of the workshop participants arrive, just to really put the pressure on.
We'll move along.
Gemma and Rebecca are identical twins and are both blind.
What inspires you to write songs?
About our life and our struggles. Yeah.
While the artists are still preparing, and as the young women are keen to perform, they suggest taking to the stage first.
I've never heard the song so. I can't believe that it's over.
I lost this one. Tonight I'll run free.
we've stepped outside to get a bit of quiet. I've just had the honour of seeing you both perform. Introduce yourselves for me.
I'm Rebecca Barnforth. I love singing and writing and sing with my twin, and I'm looking forward to share that with everybody.
Of course, you're identical twins.
Yeah. My name is Gemma Barnforth, and as you just heard, I sing with my twin sister. I love writing music as well, and I'm looking forward to be able to share that with people.
What are you hoping to learn from that? Just to hone your skills?
Yeah, to hone what I already know and see if there's different ways that I can think about writing stuff instead of it being all muddled up, because I do get muddled up sometimes with writing it, and I'm hoping there's a way of filing it into my head, sort of thing.
Yeah, well, you've got three consummate professionals who are going to be imparting their wisdom around the subject of songwriting. Are you excited about that, Gemma?
Very excited. I can't wait. And I'm just looking forward to be able to... It's about learning different techniques and methods.
And so does that mean that throughout the workshop you'll be playing your own songs to the artists?
I hope so, Well, we just sing our own songs. We don't actually write our own music, but we write our lyrics to instrumental songs at the moment. But if there's a way that we can get other people to help us do a backing track for it, that would be amazing.
Make it our own original song.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
All in, there are five participants on the VIP project, and a further two turn up to the training day to see their future mentors perform with sim specs on. But I wanted to know why they were keen to get a place on the project in the first place.
Hi, my name's Lucy Jones. I'm totally blind and have been since birth. I've got two prosthetic eyes. I live in Epsom in Surrey, so I've gone quite a distance.
Why do you want to do this course?
Because I'm a musician, a singer and pianist. I have been playing for the last 2 years. I started playing as therapy because I suffer with depression and anxiety, which has actually just been diagnosed as borderline personality disorder, which has given me a lot of material to work with. I've decided I want to record an album and want to do something with the lyrics that I wrote a couple of years ago.
Are you excited about the fact that you've got three really established musicians who are going to be
definitely
teaching?
Definitely. I've already checked the mouse on YouTube and various other places, so I know what I'm getting from this package. It'll be very useful for me. This would be really beneficial.
Another young musician who's nabbed a place already plays in a band, but he's interested in honing a very particular skill.
So hello, I'm Chris Norman. I'm 27 years old and I live in Coventry. And honestly, the main reason I wanted to do the course is because I feel as blind people, we obviously get a lot of audio input, but don't necessarily have much awareness of like body language and stuff. So I'm really keen to get, you know, the performers kind of, you know, giving me hints as to, you know, where to, how to stand on stage, how to move and all that. Because I'm very aware that when I stand on stage, I sort of stand still because I don't want to lose the microphone. And I must look a little bit boring to look at, and I'd kind of like to improve my body language, if that makes sense. One of the things on the sessions
we can do is if you could sing... Okay, about those sim-spec performances I keep going on about.
First up is a wonderful gentleman called Dan Whitehouse. He looks like the Terminator right
now. Awesome.
You tell me your secret. You tell me your fear. I don't have the answer, but I've given you years. You say
no, I can't help but notice that Dan, who is quite obviously a confident person and performer, has chosen to sit down to play, something he pretty much did as soon as he put those specs on.
Why don't you dance with me? Why don't we waltz? Why won't you move with me? Don't you want to feel close?
Wow.
And now it's Michael's turn. He's up on the stage at the moment. And Michael was actually in Ricky Gervais's film Live on the Road. You know, he was bold enough to do that. But again, as soon as he put the sim specs on, he sat down. And he's unusually still, you know, apart from the strumming of the guitar. He's not moving at all.
Now my words come out wrong, make no connection.
Mike and Dan, you've just performed with your sim specs on with Rebecca and Gemma. So how was it?
It was quite strange. I mean, I had these tunnel vision on, so I couldn't see any of it. So
it sounded great.
Yeah,
did you make any mistakes?
I don't think so, but I did. I was a bit more conscious, you know, of hitting a bum note. But then I suppose I was doing something fairly simple chord-wise. Had it been something a bit more technical, I think it would have impacted on performance a bit more dramatically, yeah.
Well, I'll ask you, Dan, how did you like that?
I found myself a bit more nervous than normal, like Mike was saying, kind of slightly on edge. I did have the slight advantage of playing Nikki Kelly's guitar, and she had it marked up, being vision paired herself.
Oh, she had bump-ons on her guitar.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. I was wearing the diabetic retinopathy glasses. Like Mike was saying, it was a simple song structure that we were playing, but I could see that playing anything complex would have been a real challenge.
How did you both feel about the fact that the room that you were looking out onto, the people who were watching you play, were obscured or just completely not there?
In all honesty, I think that's probably the bigger issue for me. As a performer, you're used to sort of looking up and scanning the room and gauging what's happening in the room and gauging people's reactions. And obviously, you couldn't do any of that. So I think if this was something in a sort of live show scenario, I think that would change the whole experience of playing live for me.
I think the word I'd use is vulnerable. I kind of reached for a chair and made myself in a comfy spot and then didn't move. And I guess I was scared too, actually, looking back. It was, it needed kind of some stabilisers, some kind of safety. It was, you do feel more vulnerable with the specs on.
And Mike?
Yeah, well, I'd purposefully not prepared anything for my workshop yet until I got through today, because I fully expected that it's going to reveal things to me about visual impairment that I'm going to need to know when delivering a workshop.
Breaking the mould, Sarah, aka Bride, has opted to stand up during her performance.
Messing with my brain. Wait. Can we do this better?
I played a song that I practiced a lot before, so I was able to feel my way around it, because I don't think I look at the frets that much anyway. But just a simple thing like putting the strap over my head and putting the capo on, it was very useful to see how difficult those things were for me initially.
What was it like, because you're performing but not able to see the people you're performing to, or not very well at least, what was that like?
It was really strange for me when I can't see people's reactions to whether, you know, just to see if people are listening, because you can hear if they're quiet but you can't always see if you've got people's attention. So that was interesting. And I also noticed that I closed my eyes despite the fact I couldn't see very much, so it's funny what a habit that is. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Okay, Nikki, so the training course has come to an end. It seems to have gone down well. Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm really happy. Everyone seemed to enjoy it. Everyone got on and it was really fun. So, yeah, I think it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Why did you decide to do it? Because I guess it's not an absolute compulsory thing, is it, to have the artists do
VI awareness training. Why did you decide it's something you wanted to do?
Yeah, I just wanted them to have more of an insight as to how being a visually impaired musician is, and I wanted them to have more of an understanding, and so that when they do come to have the workshops with visually impaired people, they're seeing it from both sides.
So next step then is the workshops are starting and off you go. You've met some of the participants today. Yes, how was that?
Yeah, it was really lovely meeting them, and they all seem very passionate and excited to get started, and so I'm really looking forward to helping them on their musical journey.
The VIP project is in its second week of 8 workshops for 5 young blind aspiring musicians. They are being given expert advice from 4 established artists, which will result in 1 big gig on the 10th of May at Mac Birmingham. Type the VIP project showcase into Google and it's the first thing that comes up. What you waiting for? The music you're hearing now and the tracks used throughout this report are by Bryde, B-R-Y-D-E, The Sad Professors and Dan Whitehouse. You can check them out online. And if you wish you were getting songwriting lessons from the likes of these guys, sorry, this VIP project has already started, but all going well, Nikki will be running more. So keep an eye on the website, thevipproject.com. And there's no need to be sincere.
I'm just so happy to be. Thanks for downloading the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.